Hallelujah. Awesome. It was not just loud, but it was wonderful, and it was attracting people to the door. Now, okay, they might have come in right to hear the word, but you know what? They've taken that first step of stepping in and having a look. Awesome. That was great. Loved to hear, Sean. Couple of things to remind you about before I start. Lessons in Love this month is a week early. So this Thursday, which I believe is the 22nd, is it? Yes. Good oven fingers, that's Thursday, is the 22nd. So ladies, Lessons in Love at our house in Arvis. Blokes, no midweek meeting this week because the ladies have got Nunzi all to herself. You come to the house if you want. I won't be there. I'll be on Isla, but Nunzi won't let you in. John and Susan Donnelly are now coming on the 15th of September, I believe. I say that because John's always likely to change it. He was coming next week. He was coming last year. So hopefully John and Susan will be with us on the 15th. John and Susan on Andrew Womack's board in the UK. They teach at Caris Bible College. So that'll be a blessing if you can come to that one. It's on the 15th. Just a quick reminder as well about what I said last week about finances. I said I was going to speak about finances, and I wondered how many folk are sitting there thinking I'm going to ask them for money. If you remember, I want to give some money away. So if you know of a good cause, a worthy charity or a good cause in the area, write it on a bit of paper and stick it in the offering pot. There you go. And we'll have a look at them and we'll decide where to sow this money. You know, I don't ask for offerings most weeks, but you guys keep giving. And I'm of the opinion we've got too much money in the pot. So we need to give it away. So we want to sow into some local charities or ministries or whatever. So stick a name that you want to donate to, put it in the pot, and we'll put out some money later. I did, however, last week ask you for some money, ask you for donations. I'd like you to think about donating to Caris Bible College, who are just about finished their Bible school in America. They work in the UK as well. We've got a few people here doing their correspondence course, people that have been at the college. So we want to bless them and help them finish that project. It's an amazing work. And it's sending wonderful people out into the mission and the ministry field. And we've been so blessed by them, so we want to bless them back. So if you would like to give money to Caris Bible College, put it in the pot, but stick it in an envelope, and then I'll know it's not for us, but it's for Caris, and we will pass it on. So we're going to do that this week and next week. It's like Piccadilly Circus out here, isn't it? Just back and forth. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get your coffee. That's right. So yeah, if you feel led to donate to Caris, put it in the offering pot in an envelope and we'll make sure they get it along with when we bless them with our money as well. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the worship and the praise. I thank you for the volume that was going out of this building, Lord. Thank you for the volume that is upstairs. Hallelujah. I thank you for the people that just poked their heads in, Lord. Put their first foot in the water. Just having a look. Heard the music, want to see what it is. I just pray that they will hear you speaking to them, Lord. That they will hear you drawing them in. Because we know that's what you're doing. We know you speak to every single one of us. So I just pray that those people hear you and are drawn by you. Hallelujah. I thank you for this place, Lord. I thank you that we're here. And I just thank you now that we're coming to look at your word. I thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the power that's held within. Thank you that it's the incorruptible seed. Thank you that we can put it into our hearts and see it develop fruit and good things. So I thank you for the word. We know that understanding is the key. Through your scriptures, we know that understanding is the key. So I just pray for understanding for every single person that's listening to this message. Pray that that seed goes deep into their hearts and it germinates and produces fruit that we all desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. Turn with me to Ephesians. We're still in Ephesians. It's only week 4. We're going to be here for a long time. What a book. And I think I'll read to verse 12 today. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Awesome. That is just a wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. You should be getting used to it now. I think it's the fourth week in a row we've read it. There's a lot more in there. Been it for a wee while yet. I'm trying to work my way through the whole of Ephesians, but at the moment it's just like Ephesians 1 to 12, 1 to 12. But never mind. Truths that will change your life if you understand them. That's the whole point of this. It's the whole point of Ephesians. It's truths that will change your life if you understand them. We started with a whistle-stop tour of grace. Whistle-stop tour about the grace of Christ. That's the first three chapters. I kind of went through it and told you all the things that I was going to preach on for the next wee while. First three chapters of the book. Awesome. Then we saw that this passage is not an argument for predestination. We saw that you guys have a fair amount of responsibility about the way your lives go. Actually, all the responsibility about where your lives go is with you guys. And last week we looked at verse 3, that we have all we need for an abundant life in us already. If you haven't got that message, Dave's been doing his usual work during the week, so there's that last week's message is up on the top row there. Help yourself. We saw that these truths are for us because we are the saints and we are the faithful. Or we are the saints and we're moving towards being the faithful. So remember, there's a difference between being a saint and being a faithful. Good message. So this week I'm going to carry on expounding this passage. I'm going to consider more truths. I'm going to let you soften your hearts. Let you get closer to God. Get more understanding. And then you'll see more fruit in your life. So what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the last few words of verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. Do you know that's you this morning? Do you believe that? Can you say that to yourself? I am holy. I am without blame. Well, I hope you can at the end of this, if you're not doing it already. Because some people have real trouble accepting this. Well, Vic, you don't know what I've done. That goes the other way. You guys don't know what I've done. Thank goodness for that. You don't know what I'm doing. I can't be holy. I can't be without blame. I have done lots in my life that I deserve blame for. And see, nobody's nodding their head, but inside you're all nodding your heads. I don't deserve this. I deserve blame. I can't be holy. You know what, guys? I don't doubt that for one second. But Jesus' work has dealt with everything that you've ever done. He's sorted everything. He's dealt with a whole lot. Every single sin. And you need to remember, we spoke about this last week, I think, that what we're talking about here, we're talking about in the spiritual. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about the real us. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. When we read these kind of things, we're talking about our spirit. And we need to remember that when we do things that are not very holy. Because that doesn't stop us from being holy in our spirit. What we're talking about here is your state or your nature and not your actions. That's very important. Listen to that again. We're talking here about your nature and not your actions. Okay? See, when we see this saying about holiness and about being without blame, this is talking about your spirit. It's talking about what you are, not what you do. You're labouring the point a bit, Vic. Oh, yes, I am. But I'll say it again. It's about what you are and not what you do. And the really significant part in this verse is the last bit. Before him. Before him in love. This tells us that Paul is talking about what God sees. This is talking about, Paul is saying, this is what God sees. This is what God relates to. This is what God cares about. And that is your spirit. It's not your soul, not your mind, will, and emotions, not your body, not your fleshy bit. The bit that God relates to, the bit that God sees, is your spirit. And we need to really get that into our heads. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When God relates to us, he does it on the level of spirit to spirit. Because he is a spirit. So he relates to our spirit. He relates to your spirit. That is the bit that counts for him. I was saying that last week. That is the bit of me that is going to boldly approach him on the day of judgment. That is a bit of you that is going to boldly approach him on the day of judgment. That is a bit he's interested, that's a bit he sees, that's a bit he relates to. That's the bit he wants. The trouble is, you cannot see your spirit. You know what you think. You can see what you do with your fleshy bits. And it's nae nice, is it? Compared to what your spirit is. Last week, remember I gave this a kick? That's not the real Sean that I just kicked. The real Sean is his spirit. That's what God sees. And it is that that is holy and without blame. Now see, if we can grasp that, we might believe it. If we think it's what we think, if you think it's what we do with our flesh, we'll have trouble accepting that we're holy and without blame. Because, let me be really honest with you. This soul and this body is not always holy. Not always without blame. And it's the same for every single one. Make sure I get everyone. But in your spirit, holy and without blame. Holy means hagios. You know, I was looking back at my notes last night, and predictive text is terrible because it had changed it to haggis. Haggis? Like what? No, haggis isn't a Greek word. Hagios. Changed it to haggis. Holy, it's the Greek word hagios. It means a most holy thing, a saint. And it is the same word that is used in Ephesians 1:1. You are a saint. You'll believe that. You were all nodding this morning. You're a saint. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I'm holy. Oh, no. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. Interchange saint and holy. Holy and saint. It's the same word. It's a strange thing I've seen as a pastor and as somebody trying to teach the word. People can accept that they are a saint and not a sinner. When you explain you were born a sinner, and there's nothing you could do about it. You were born a sinner. And then when you accepted Jesus because of his finished work and your trust in him, you got a gift of grace, you became a saint. Folk will believe that because they understand it's about their born-again spirit. They go from being a sinful nature to having a perfect, holy nature. They'll believe that they're a saint. People will accept that. Read Romans, it'll tell you that. But when you tell the same people that they are now holy, a lot of them just don't get it. No, I can't be. But it's the same thing. Saint and holy, holy and a saint, it's the same thing. People can accept that they're a saint when you explain it to them, but a lot of people just can't get this holy bit. See, the trouble is, they can see saint as being a state of being or a nature, but they see holy as about being actions. But they're both the same word. It's all about your nature. Holy is a nature, it's a state of being as well. Holy is not about what you do, it's about what you are. It's the same way as a saint is. Ephesians 4:24 talks about the new man, that new spirit that was born again in Christ when you trusted in him as your Savior. And that was created in righteousness and true holiness. You should know that by now. It's one of my favorite verses. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Not even holiness. True. Just put that in. Just make it sound even better. To me, it's holy or holy. I'm not sure what true just makes it sound even better. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul greets the believers as saints a number of times. Ephesians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, I didn't look at them all. But he uses that phrase, saints, and that's hagios. He could just say, you guys that are holy. This is about your state, it's about your nature, it's not about your actions. If you're a born-again believer, is there any born-again believers in here? You are a saint and you are holy. Thank you. Who gave me that one? Woohoo. I can count on you, dear. It's black and white, sheep and goats. If you're not a believer, you're a sinner and you're not holy. Simple. If you are a believer, you're a saint and you are holy. If you cannot, and with some people this holds, some people I've spoken to, if you cannot or will not say that I am a saint or say that I am holy, you don't have a true revelation of who you are in Christ. True revelation of who you are in Christ, you can look in the mirror and say, God, Vic, you're not only gorgeous, you are holy, and you are a saint. God thinks I'm gorgeous. Nancy, I'm gorgeous. You need to be able to stand in the mirror and say, Not about stand in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror. A bit carried away. It's not Alison. What? No. Never mind. You need to be able to say, I'm a saint. I am holy. And believe it. Folks, don't let anyone tell you that it's arrogance to you to say, I'm holy. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not. I am a saint. And I am holy. And the real part of me, and the bit that God relates to, and the bit that he wants, and the bit that he looks at, before him in love, in his love, because of what Jesus has done, before him, I am holy, and I am a saint, and so are you. That is an awesome truth. Awesome. But, Vic, come on. It doesn't really matter. I'm saved. Doesn't matter what I think about myself. Doesn't matter what I say. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me rephrase that for the ladies. For as she thinketh in her heart, so is she. Don't think you're going to get out of it. This is not just for blokes. This is important. Keep telling you that. What you think is so important. See, at a subconscious level, or even a conscious level for some people, if you cannot say or will not say that you're a saint, you think you're a sinner. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Because you can only be one or the other. Sheep or a goat, Tracy? Black or white? You're one or the other. There are only two options, saint or sinner. If you don't think you're one, logic says you think you're the other. Even if it is at a subconscious level. And that is the dangerous level. Well, I'm not sure if I think that. No. If you don't think you're a saint, subconsciously you think you're a sinner. And you know what? If you think you're a sinner, what are you going to behave like? You're going to behave like a sinner. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if you think you're a saint, you're more likely to behave like a saint. If you think you're a sinner, you're more likely to behave like a sinner. Guys, this is not rocket science. If you've been with us at NGF, it's what you've been getting for 4 years. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, mummels. You can always rely on your mother-in-law. A bit of support. It's normally heckling, but it's positive this week. Guys, if it's important what we have in our hearts, if you've considered things and you have in your heart your core belief, your fundamental belief, your axioms, if you have that in yourself that you're still a sinner, you'll not live the abundant life that Jesus has for you. You'll not live the abundant life that he died for. He wants so much for you. But you've got to sort out your head and start thinking straight. The word tells you that you are a saint. Yeah, but I'm still sinning. Yeah, join the club. Join the club. But how can you sin if you're not a sinner and a saint? Because sinners and saints are about states or natures, not about actions. You're a saint, and you sin because of your unrenewed mind. You don't have a sin nature anymore. You have a born-again spirit that's perfect and holy and pure and wonderful. And that's not pushing you to sin anymore like the old sin nature. But you've got an unrenewed mind. When you're born again, it was your spirit that was made perfect. I've said this before. The second you're born again, you can look in the spirit in the mirror and still see balding, less overweight than he used to be, bloke. The body didn't change. Mind still thinking horrible things, but the spirit was completely changed. But we've still got that unrenewed mind, like that old programming. We have a kind of programming built into our heads from the old man that will still push us towards sin. That's not a sin nature. It's an unrenewed mind. That's how you can sin and still be a saint. See, nobody would argue against the opposite of that. There are billions of sinners out there. They do some wonderful things. They're better than Christians sometimes. Doing some awesome things. Not one of you would say, oh, their good actions make them a saint. They must be a saint. No. Nothing to do with their actions. They're still sinners. They just happen to do some good things. You're saints who just happen to do some bad things because of your unrenewed mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Move towards more holy lives, more godly lives. That's what it's all about. See, part of the trouble is we have the wrong definition of what holy means. The wrong definition. Religion says it is not sinning. Religion says it is about living right. You're holy, you live right. You don't sin. You tithe. You come to church. You do all those things. Squeaky clean. It's what the church says holiness is, or being holy is. It is about having perfect actions and getting nothing wrong, never doing anything wrong. Anybody in here like that? So none of us are holy. No, every single one of us is holy. Because they're almost right. It is about being perfect. But it's about being perfect in your spirit. That is what holiness is. That is what being holy is all about. It is about being perfect in your spirit. And when you're born again, you are. Ephesians 4:24. Created in righteousness and true holiness. At your point of conversion, that spirit was created. The new man, the new you. Awesome. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You could change that. Jesus said, could say, be ye therefore holy, even as your Father which is in heaven is holy. Jesus there is exhorting us towards perfection. Exhorting us to be holy. It's about perfection in your spirit, not actions in your mind or actions in your body. Very important. So you're holy. That deserved a yes.
Yes.
Thank you. You're holy. Thank you. What about the blame thing, Vic? Tell us about the blame thing, because I'm still beating myself up about past events. Still beating myself. But that's what I'm saying. You guys are saying to me. No. A lot of us look on the past about things we've done and blame ourselves. We put blame on ourselves. All of us really have loads of stuff that we could look back on and regret if we look hard enough. Don't. I'm not exhorting you to do that. But I can think of some things in the past. And surely God blames me for that. He must blame me for that. Well, no, he doesn't. At the exact second I was writing this bit out, I paused and I got Spotify. Anybody got Spotify on their computer? It's brilliant, isn't it? There was a Phil Wickham song on, and just as I was thinking about this, he started singing the chorus of some song. Can't remember what it was. He sang, because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. There's nothing left for us to have blame put on. That wasn't good English. What should I have said there? There's nothing there to blame us for. Nothing. It's all been dealt with. All our sins, everything. We all kind of know this, but do we really know it? We all say, oh, all my sins have been paid for, and then you bother yourself for what you did last week. Well, if all your sins have been paid for, so's that. Stop giving yourself grief about that. All your sins, all that you could ever be blamed for. Listen to this. They are now all gone as far as God is concerned. Before him, they're all gone. Wonderful. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Old covenant promise. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. New covenant confirmation. Wonderful. Guys, there is nothing there for you to have blame put on. Nothing. Not a thing. In God's eyes, before him, you are without blame. Now, it's been good so far, but this is where it gets exciting. The word for without blame is amomos. It means without blemish, as in a sacrifice. Morally, without fault or without blame. That talks to me of perfection. When God looks at us, he sees perfection. This word is used 7 times in the New Testament. I want to read 2 other times when this word is used. This word, amomos. Remember, it's talking about you. You are without blame. In your spirit, you've got this amomos. Here's 2 other uses of this word, 2 out of the 7. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I don't know if you got that. This is a word that describes you, that is used to describe Jesus. Let that sink in. That word that is used to describe you, a saint, faithful, in your spirit, is the same word used to describe Jesus. That is, I had to sit for half an hour after I read that last night. It was just, Me. In my spirit is the same as Jesus. Now, I've said that before. If you've been, I've said that a few times. But this verse, these verses, this Greek word, that confirms that in Scripture to me. In my spirit, I'm the same as Jesus. That is just awesome. Just let that sink in. You need to meditate on that this afternoon. If that's not exciting you. This is saying that before him, before God, he sees you the same as Jesus. Jesus, the agent of creation, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Almighty. Oh, I don't know how else to describe him. In your spirit, you're the same. That is astounding. Awesome. Oh, that is how you can be without blame before him. Because you're the same as his son. That's just awesome. Thank you, Sean. Guys, of course you're without blame. Can't be anything else. Would you lay anything to blame on Jesus? No? Well, God's got nothing to lay blame on you then. Because in your spirit, you're the same as him. But you might be saying, well, oh, I don't know about that, Vic. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. How am I without blame? The other thing is, because you've already been forgiven. Get the messages. You've already been forgiven. If you've been forgiven, there's no blame. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have been forgiven. We are in a state of forgiveness because of his grace. Because of your faith in his finished work and the gift of grace, you have been forgiven. Awesome. Because of his blood, because of his sacrifice, we have been redeemed. That means effectively been released because of the payment of a pardon. Released, you're no longer under obligation. You're free, you've been freed. The ransom's been paid. I mean, if somebody kidnaps somebody and they get a ransom for them and they've gone, the family don't keep paying the ransom month after month. It's one payment, and you're freed, and you go. You'd be daft to keep paying a ransom payment if you've got your family back. That's what this is talking about, this redemption. It's about having a ransom paid. Once the ransom is paid and you have been freed, it's over. Absolutely, it's over. You've been forgiven. So there's another strand that you can look at and think, well, if I've been forgiven for everything because of the work in Jesus, and God doesn't look at it, there can't be any blame. So I must be without blame. That's another way to look at it. Nothing left to pay, nothing left to be blamed for. It's just too good to be true. Almost. It's not too good to be true, because it is true. But that thing I did, Vic, was so big. I just can't get it out of my head. These things I've done in the past, I just can't get them out of my head. People, everything you've done in the past has been paid for. Everything you're going to do in the future has also been paid for. It's not an excuse to go out and sin. I always tell you that. It's no excuse to go out and sin. But you know what? For a lot of believers, they're living so much in the past that they can't live in the present. And they've got no hope for the future because all they're concerned about is the things of the past. When the things of the past are gone, been dealt with. They're letting the things of the past keep them from God. Keep them from a relationship with God. Keep them from a loving relationship with God. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul writes a long list of things that can keep you from God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is one of my favorite verses about my mistakes in the past. Because he doesn't mention them. He doesn't write about the past. Because you know what, to Paul? It doesn't matter. Paul doesn't even say the things in the past are going to keep you from the Lord. Because they're so irrelevant to him. Look through that list again if you don't. I haven't just missed it out. To highlight my point. Have a look at it. Nothing. I love this verse because it speaks about the things in my past that keeps me from God. Nothing. I love that. Paul doesn't even put the past in his list. It mattered so little to Paul. But oh boy, doesn't it matter to us? If it's not ourselves reminding us about our mistakes in the past, it's our family, it's our friends, it's our pastors, it's our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, we all love to dwell on the things of the past. Paul doesn't even say they're an issue. Why does he say they're not an issue? Because they've been dealt with. And God says, I have decided not to remember them. God's not forgetful. God doesn't have amnesia. Oh, was that Vic done yesterday? Oh, I'm sure he did something yesterday. No, God says, no, I choose to forget that thing that he did yesterday. I choose. Our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Now, yes, I agree there may be things in the past for you to deal with. But this is a thing about renewing your mind. is about taking some of the rubbish that you were taught in the past, or the rubbish, the lies that was spoken over you, and saying, no, I am not having that. I am repenting. I'm turning away from them. I'm going 180 degrees the other way towards Christ and renewing your mind. Yes, there are things in the past that you may have to do that with. But there's no sins in the past that has to be dealt with. There might be things in the past that you have to deal with in your unrenewed minds. But you're not to blame for them. And you're still holy. Wonderful. Before him, we are without blame. Yeah. Maybe not your husband or your wife, your kids, your parents, your friends. But before him. And who's important? Him. Before him, you are without blame. He sees you without spot. Spot? Spot and blemish. He sees you without spot or blemish. He sees you morally perfect. He sees you just like Jesus. Do you believe that today for yourself? You might look and think, well, yeah, he's not bad. Yeah, I'll believe it for him. You need to believe it for yourself. Do you believe that for yourself today? Before Father God, you are holy and without blame, exactly the same as Jesus. Get that into your heart, and it will change your actions. Understand this, and I promise you will start to live in a more holy manner. Hear what I said there. It will not make you holy, but you will start to live in a more holy manner. You will start to display holiness. Because see, people can look at you just now and they can't see your spirit. They can't see that you're holy. But see, once you grasp it and understand it and get it from your head into your heart and consider it, and it's one of your core axioms, one of your fundamental beliefs, you will start displaying holiness to them. You can't do that unless you've considered it in your heart and believe that you're holy. Once you've considered it, you will start to work out your holy nature from your spirit into your soul and your body. Do you want to live more holy lives, guys? Thank you for that three yeses. Do you want less sin in your life? Thank you. Well, start to believe that you're holy and start to believe that you're without blame. Change the way you think, and that will change the way you act. Holiness is about your nature, not about your actions. If you believe in your nature that you're holy, you will start to display holy actions. It's not the other way around. You don't do holy actions to become holy. Once you know you're holy, you will start to do holy actions. Awesome. Can you really see that you're without blame this morning? Good. Because if not, you need some mind renewal. You need more understanding of who you are in Christ, what you've got in Christ. See, if you cannot or will not say, I am holy and I am without blame, you're saying Christ didn't do enough. Not explicitly, but that's what you're saying. Saying, yeah, he might have done it for loads of other people, but I know what I'm like. I can't be holy. No, you are. If you say that or think that, that you're not, you're, I don't know, disregarding the finished work of Jesus Christ and not taking the fullness that he has for you. Kind of saying, well, his blood is not powerful enough for what I did. You know that? That's not humility. That's pride. Oh, he's not done enough for what I've done. It's pride. There's nobody pride in here, is there? I'm not speaking to anybody in here. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation is a big word for payment, been paid. He has paid for the sins of the whole world. That's that word cosmos that I keep using. That means everybody in the world. He has paid for all sins for everybody. There can't be anything for us to be blamed for. Another argument for that. Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Why did he sit down? Because he was finished. I love that. Oh, finished. Sit down. He was finished. Verse 14 goes on to say, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Ah, he hath perfected. Forever he has made holy them that are sanctified, them that have believed. Awesome. Jesus died once, paid for all sins, for all people, forever, once. Hebrews 10 is the once chapter. Once. Guys, if you think there's something in your past that still has to be paid for, you're done for. Because Jesus is nae coming back to die again. He's coming back, but it's nae to go on to that cross. He's going to come back in glory and honor and might to take what is rightfully his. But if you think there's something in your past that's not been paid for, you're kind of snookered. Because it can't be paid for. But you don't have to worry, because you've just heard me speaking for the last however long. There's nothing. It's all been paid for. This is a fundamental, guys, that we all need to have so we can move on with the Lord. A lot of the blockages that we have is rubbish that's happened to us in the past and stupid things that we've done. We've been forgiven for them all. No reason to get blasé, but it's a reason to be thankful. It'll help you to move on. There's nothing in the past that can hold us back at all unless we let it hold us back. There's nothing too big, nothing too bad, nothing too horrible that he hasn't dealt with. You can... Yeah, you all look like the reasonably nice people in here. Don't think we have any mass murderers or people into genocide or things like that. You know, in the overall scheme of things, the things you've done, they're nae that bad. You might think they're horrible, but you know what? To God, they're not. A sin is a sin is a sin. Something's either godly or ungodly. There's not an ungodly scale. You know, for 1 to 100, and what Pol Pot or Hitler did was at 100, and what Vic shouted at footballs at 2 or 3. You know, there's not. There's that is as bad as that. There's no grade for sin. I don't know why I'm saying this, because it's irrelevant, because it's all been paid for, and it's all done and dusted and been dealt with. So we don't even need to think about it. What's Hebrews 10:2 says? Once you've been purged, you should have no more conscience of sin. You shouldn't even give it a second thought. Repent. That just means turn around. Take 180 degrees. Move away from the rubbish. Change your mind. I'm going to now go in the direction of the Lord. That's what repentance is. It's not, I'm so sorry. It's just turn around. Change your mind. I'm rambling a bit now. People, if you've trusted in him, trusted in his finished work, say that he's your Lord, you are a new creature. And I promise you, the word of God guarantees it, you are holy and without blame. It is that easy. If you're listening to this and you've not trusted in Jesus, it is so easy to become holy and without blame. It's just believing on him and speaking it out. It's awesome. The good news, and it's the good news that brings men to repentance, is that if you're a believer, you are holy and without blame. And if you're not, it is so easy to move from that state into the state of perfection. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. And it's all because of the work of Jesus. And nothing to do with you. Awesome.